Reno, diving isn't just for vacationing in tropical locations. There are lots of places to dive in Wisconsin, too. I'm Jill Nadeau. Glad to have you with us on the Ideas Network. Our next guest is Tamara Thompson. She is the owner and also an instructor at Diversion Scuba in Madison, and she has worked as a maritime archaeologist with the Wisconsin Historical Society also. Have you always wanted to learn to dive? Well, what's holding you back? What questions do you have about dive sites in our area? We'd like to hear from you, so give us a call. The number is 800-642-1234 or send an email to ideas@wpr.org. Hi, Tammy, are you there?
Yes, hi.
Hi. Hi, sorry we had a little bit of a mix up there, but I think we're good to go now, right?
Absolutely.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, thank you for being with us. How in the world did you get interested in diving?
Oh, I always wanted to dive. In high school, I begged my dad for us to take scuba diving lessons. I grew up in Indiana. And so I begged and begged, and he kept saying next year, next year. And I eventually came to school at the University of Wisconsin, Madison. It was offered as a class. And I took it as a class, and I never looked back. I started taking more classes and meeting more people and gaining more experiences. It's just been a lot of fun and a really adventurous career.
That is amazing. Because Indiana, you don't really think about diving too much in Indiana, I would imagine, most people.
Yeah, not at all. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
Exactly.
I was drawn to it, and we wanted to do it.
I love it. So how long have you been an instructor? And why did you decide to get into the business, actually?
I've been an instructor since the beginning of time, it seems like. I became an instructor in 1993. And how did I get into the business? Actually, by accident. So I was teaching classes through dive shops. The dive shop went out of business, and all of a sudden, all of my students that I had been taking through classes went in, and the doors were closed. And so they started contacting me personally, and I was out of a job, and I decided, well, you know what, I'm not doing anything anyway, so I can just teach these people until I'm done with them. Well, they had friends, and their friends had friends, and it kind of got out of hand. And ended up now we're at the third version of our shop. So we've moved three times over the years, and we just keep growing and getting stronger. And we have a really strong instructor group as well. So it's not just me. There's a number of different instructors that work for us too.
So you do the lessons, and then you also have a retail part of it too, don't you?
Yeah, we do. So we sell gear. We specialize mostly in diving locally around Wisconsin, although we do trips to the Caribbean and other places. So, there's a lot out there to explore, even in our own backyard.
Sure. Now, how did the COVID pandemic affect your business this last year?
Yeah, that was rough.
I'll bet.
You know what? A lot of people connected with what we had locally because, the travel scene was basically shut down. Local diving really became an option for a lot of people who had thought, well, I'm never going to dive here. And so it picked up, and we really did do the best that we can, make the best of the worst times. And a lot of people took classes, took the opportunity to take almost semi-private classes because we didn't want to have a whole lot of people, crammed into a pool or into
sure.
a classroom. And so, like every industry, we made the best of it and we got through. So.
Okay. Well, are things back to normal at this point?
No.
Oh, dear.
There's still some changes. The agency made it really easy. The training agency made it really easy for us to teach classes online. Mm-hmm. So instead of going back to in-person classes, we're continuing on with those e-learning modules for what we're doing in the classroom. So that's changed. So, and probably for the better, it gives people the opportunity to do that learning, in their own home on their own free time rather than sitting in a classroom with us. And so things have changed for the good, but I think those changes probably were necessary. Mm-hmm. And we're keeping our classes smaller. So instead of being the 12 people in a class like we used to have, we're doing fours and sixes and just doing them more often. So again, it's changed, but probably changed for the better.
Sure. That seems to be the case in some things for businesses that I've talked to this past year. Now, I was on your site, and there's a whole lot of acronyms associated with diving, which there are with a lot of the things these days. But what are kind of the important ones for newbies to know about diving?
Well, for acronyms, you'll hear a lot about the training agencies, okay? There's a number of different training agencies, and they'll be referred to as PADI, P-A-D-I, Professional Association of Diving Instructors, or TDI, Technical Diving International. Those type of things you hear a lot. But SCUBA itself is an acronym, Self-Contained Underwater Breathing Apparatus.
Right.
Already become a word in the dictionary in itself, and the acronym part of it sort of goes away and fades in the background. So there's quite a few.
Yeah,
especially
for sure.
When you get into the specialized diving, DPV, Diver Propulsion Vehicle, those are like these underwater scooters, sort of fans that you can use in front of you to pull yourself through the water. There are quite a few.
Yeah, definitely. So what kind of training is really necessary? Can people just go out and rent scuba gear and go diving? Or what are the rules and regulations on that?
Okay, so there's a basic class. Okay, so like everybody has to, that goes scuba diving, should take a basic open water class. So open water scuba diver class there's three portions to it. There's classroom, there's pool, and then there's an open water portion of the training. So the classroom portion is either done in person where you're watching videos and discussing it with the instructor, and there's some reading that goes along, or it's e-learning. So again, in the pandemic, we moved it all online, and those videos and that discussion and all of that learning takes place in your home. And then there's pool sessions, which are confined water training. And so you'll go a few times to a pool with an instructor. They'll give you all the basics, skills that you need to know in order to experience the underwater world and be comfortable in it. And then you practice those and you build up proficiency. And then once you've mastered that, you're allowed to go on for open water training dives. And most agencies, there's four dives that are associated with those over two different days. And you'll go and experience the underwater environment, usually in a lake or a quarry year-round, Wisconsin. And there's usually a number of fish and other aquatic life that you can see and experience. So it's not always scary and green. You need to choose the better lakes, and they cycle through depending on what the season is. Like right now in our backyard, Lake Mendota is getting kind of green, but we're going up to some of the quarries. I was up in Black River Falls this weekend at Lake Wazee, and there's, you can see almost 70-foot distance. So it's pretty clear, not Caribbean clear, but pretty good for around
right.
here.
Right. Yeah, because that is one of the things that people say. It's like it's difficult because of the clarity of the water, right?
Yeah, it is difficult because of that, but if you learn to choose where to dive, depending on the cycle of the season, or if you learn to get used to it, build your experiences through time and get used to a little bit lower visibility, then you can be very comfortable in really all conditions. So then when you go to the Caribbean, you know, that's the best of the best. So you're not you're not going to have to worry about anything. When you're trained here, you've seen just about everything, and you'll be a better diver because of it.
So and a lot of people do like to travel, and when they travel, they're thinking, oh, I need to either snorkel or scuba dive. Should they be very cautious about diving with maybe companies that they're not real familiar with when they do go to other places?
Oh, yeah. You can do your research online like everywhere else. And, you know, decide which ones get the best reviews. And you can also go to the training agency's website, be it Patty or SSI or whatever the training agency is that you've been taught through, and they'll have recommendations for other instructors that are in the area or other businesses that meet a minimum qualification. So okay. There are definitely ways to research that out and feel comfortable about the decisions that you make.
Right. Because are there still places that say, oh, you don't need to be, you know, certified. We can teach you what you need to know. Are there some of those out there?
There are, and you know, that is something that's very valid to do, is what's called either Discover Scuba or Discover Scuba Diving course.
Okay.
And what they do is they give you very basic training in the classroom and in the pool, and then you go right to open water and dive. But you're not certified, so you know, every time that you go back and want to have that experience, you'll have to do another one of those.
Okay. All right, yeah. I hate to interrupt you there, Tammy, but we do have to take a break. We've been talking with Tamara Thompson. She's the owner and an instructor at Diversions Scuba in Madison. We'd like to hear from you. Do you dive? What was your first experience like? Give us a call, 800-642-1234. We'll be back after this look at the news. This is the Larry Mueller Show, and we're talking about scuba diving with Tamara Thompson today. She is the owner and instructor at Diversion Scuba in Madison. I'm Jill Nadeau. Thanks for joining us on the Ideas Network. Are you a diver? Well, what do you love about it? Where do you like to dive? Or maybe you have a fear of learning to dive. Well, we'd like to talk to you, so join in. The number is 800-642-1234, or you can send an email to ideas@wpr.org. Tammy, I had mentioned just a bit ago about people having a fear of diving. Do you run into that quite a bit?
You know, every once in a while, but you know, most people, when they get underwater and they get over the nerves and are able to relax, they just find that it's a really lovely activity to just kind of unwind and disconnect, because there's no internet or phones or anything like that underwater. So you can just really connect with nature, and you can't even really talk to your buddies. You have to, you know, communicate by a hand signal. So it's very, very relaxing to just immerse yourself and be cool and enjoy our lakes.
Cool is an optimal word today. That sounds like a great idea. Now you talk about your buddy. Now, buddy system is really important with scuba diving, isn't it?
It is, and you know, for safety, but also for fun. It's you know, it's a way to share an experience with someone. But if you do run into a problem, let's say you get hooked on some fishing line or caught on something, there's always someone there that has your back for you and can help cut you free. Or you always have that knowledge that someone's there with extra gas should you need to ask for some assistance to get back to the surface.
And how different is scuba from like snorkeling, which most people are familiar with?
You know, I like to say that everybody can snorkel, but you know, I actually think that scuba diving is a little bit easier than snorkeling. You don't have to worry about the water that can get in through the top of the snorkel. But if you're able to scuba dive, and there are some health restrictions to those that can and can't scuba dive, I actually think it's a very enjoyable and relaxing activity. But there are quite a few lakes that are really fun for snorkeling. Let's say, you know, Devil's Lake State Park. We see snorkelers there all the time. They come down the shorelines. They enjoy the big rocks that are along the shore and all the fish that are in the shallow waters as well. So there's an equal number of experiences that can be had in our lakes, snorkeling as well as diving.
Okay. Now, what kind of equipment do you need to dive? Do you have to buy your own mask and all the equipment, or can you rent all that?
You can usually rent it, but we suggest that everyone have at least the basics to have a really good fitting mask. You can work with your local dive center to find one that that fits you and is comfortable and is of high quality silicone. So it's nice and comfortable for your face and doesn't pinch too much or hit across the top of your forehead. And once you have that and you're comfortable, that's really, you know, that's the penultimate piece of equipment that you should have that fits you, and you should splurge on that. Whatever one fits you the best, that's the one you should buy, no matter the cost. Because if you have an ill-fitting mask, you're going to have a lousy time diving or even snorkeling.
Yeah.
And then you can go to a snorkel. You know, you can have your basic U-shaped snorkel where you would, you know, maybe you had one of these as a kid and you dive down to the bottom of the pool and the top fills up with water and when you come to the surface, you have to exhale really hard and get all of it out. There are improvements on that too. You can get upgrades, ones that have a purge valve in the bottom, so you can blow half of that water out through the bottom and it clears very easily. You can also get entirely dry snorkels that have no water into them unless you remove the mouthpiece from your mouth, of course. So, you know, all comfort levels and, you know, range of prices and styles and colors and all sorts of things. And then fins are also important. To get fins that that are good for your kicking style, there's quite a few fins that are very stiff and heavy. You may not want to use those if you have bad knees or not a perfected form of kicking. And so there's, again, a whole range of those that you can choose from too, to fit whatever diving you may do or snorkeling, and also to fit your physical ability.
And what about if you have eye correction, so prescription of some sort? Can you get that into a mask also?
Oh, yes. You can have lenses ground, your exact prescription, or you can get drop-in lenses that'll get you pretty close. So it's sort of like, you know, when you go to the drugstore and you get a drugstore prescription or something, it gets you close. And you don't have to spend quite as much money, but if you do have an astigmatism or something that needs a lot of correction, it's probably worth the money to invest in an exactly ground prescription for your mask.
Okay, and those are available then through your scuba shop?
Yeah, most of the dive shops around the state will have that as an option for you for purchase.
Okay, so let's talk about some of the good places to dive in Wisconsin. What are some of the areas that you would recommend?
Well, we have a lot of local lakes and quarries that are really, really nice this time of year. So this is starting out into the summertime. They get nice and warm. They have thermoclines, which are set up, which means there's two layers of water. So the upper portion is very, very warm, and then below the thermocline, it's usually very clear but cold. And then there's also, you know, the Great Lakes. We're right here on the edge of Lake Michigan and Lake Superior, and we have these really fantastic shipwrecks in our state. And we have people that actually come from all over the world to see these shipwrecks, and they're right here in our backyard. So, you know, once you've built a little experience and you feel comfortable, I really suggest that people take advantage of our local resources.
And where would people find good dive sites? Is there a web page that they should be looking at?
They should work with their local dive center and find out what's good that's near them. There are great places all over our state. And like I said, I was just up in Black River Falls this weekend, and that's a ways away from Madison. But we had groups that went out to Devil's Lake. We had a group that went down to Pearl Lake a week ago. Pearl Lake is down in South Beloit, so in Illinois. That's a diving quarry. So you can go in with a dive group. They have sunk all kinds of features. So they have a school bus, an airplane, and a bunch of different boats and things like that. So you can go from feature to feature to feature and see all these really cool and different things that they purposefully placed underwater, and you have the opportunity to enjoy that. And I think they charge like $20 to get in. You have to go with a dive center at this point to go in, so you'll have to make arrangements with the local dive center to go.
Okay, what was the name of that again?
Pearl Lake, and they're down in South Beloit.
Okay, great. Now, you you were actually on with Larry a number of years ago to talk about your job as a marine archaeologist. Why don't you tell us a little bit about what that is and some of the things that you've done with that?
So, yeah, my day job, I work for the Wisconsin Historical Society, and I'm an underwater archaeologist. So, I don't know, years into this, I discovered that not only do I like being underwater and diving, but I really like it when I have a task to do and when there's something that's interesting to look at. And so I was able to get a job with Wisconsin Historical Society as a maritime archaeologist. So our state has 750 historic losses of commercial vessels in the waters of the Great Lakes. So we study those. We look at the various shipwrecks. We try to catalog what's on the bottom. We document. We draw to scale what's down there. And then we learn the history of these various vessels, and we make every effort to share those histories. And because we have such fantastic resources and the waters are so clear in the Great Lakes, again, we have people that come from all over to experience them. So it's really, really exciting to go shipwreck diving and then connect with that history.
Right. We're talking with Tamara Thompson. She's the owner and an instructor at Diversion Scuba, as well as working for the Wisconsin Historical Society. We have open lines. If you've got any questions for her, maybe about some of the shipwrecks that she's have seen and have worked on, give us a call, 800-642-1234, or you can send us an email at ideas@wpr.org. So do you have a favorite place that you like to dive?
Oh, yeah, I do. So in the winter, that's the secret, I think. In the winter times here, the groundwater in Wisconsin remains 50 degrees in the southern part of the state year-round. And so we dive in some of the inundated lead mines in the southwestern part of the state. And some of those are sort of this combination between my job at the dive shop and my job at the Historical Society is that I really love diving in these things. I teach cave diving classes as well, so it combines this sort of rock diving skills with cave diving skills, and we explore the tunnels of these underwater submerged mines. A lot of times, the price of the ore dropped so much that they couldn't keep the pumps on. And so they turned the pumps off, left everything in place, and never came back. So they're time capsules. It's really kind of exciting to go and swim through these tunnels.
So what do you need to be trained to do that? It sounds like you need some special skills.
Yeah, you sure do. It's not something that everybody will want to do, but it is it is something that's very unique, and you not only need to have your basic scuba certification, but you need to go through a whole series of classes for cave diving. And so there's cavern diving it starts out with, where you go in a little bit, you can still see the natural light. Then it goes on to an introductory cave diving class, where you go in a little bit further and you practice really the basic non-silting techniques with your fins, and you learn how to do self-rescue and buddy rescues. And then there's a full cave diving class where you can swim in and make jumps into different tunnels and do full exploration. And those classes take many weeks to get through once you're comfortable in the environment. And
yeah.
We also lead trips down to Florida, and we go see the Florida Springs. There's a number of freshwater caves that are there. Also, there are caves in Missouri, and so we'll go down and take groups there to experience the caves in those regions.
Okay, well, as I'm hyperventilating because I've got claustrophobia, let's go to our first caller here. We've got Tom in Madison with a question. Hi, Tom.
Hi, it was delightful to turn on my radio and hear Ms. Thompson. That's Tom Castle here. Very interested in shipwreck. And you were talking about visibility, and I know if you talk to old Great Lakes divers, they'll tell you a good day was when you could see your hand in front of your face.
Now
we're looking at 80, 90-foot visibility. Is that all zebra mussels, or what's that?
Yeah, so I was one of them. I was one of those people that started diving in the 90s in the Great Lakes, and I scared the bejesus out of myself and decided I would never go wreck diving again. I'm an underwater archaeologist. It was really these invasive species. It started out with the zebra mussels that came in, and they started filtering the water. And the water clarity got a lot better. But now we have the zebra mussels have almost entirely been out-competed by what's called quagga mussels. And they're sort of a cousin to the zebras, and they're more pervasive. They don't require the currents that the zebra mussels did. And so, therefore, they can go deeper. They cover the wrecks. They cover the bottom of the lake. They don't even require a substrate to attach to. They attach right to the bottom. So if you imagine, if you trained like Michigan, you could have a bowl that was completely covered with these quagga mussels, which is horrible. They're very bad for some of the ecosystem, but they're also, they cover the wrecks, and they have this little tendril thing that attaches them to the surfaces, so they sort of wreak havoc on these wooden shipwrecks. But they certainly do clear the water. And so that's why when you see pictures of Great Lakes shipwrecks, it's just so lovely. The water is blue, and you can see almost the entirety of a 100-150-foot shipwreck. But you can't see the shipwreck itself because it's completely encased in these mussels. So good and bad, but it certainly makes for good diving conditions, but really bad for the resources.
Yeah. Well, thank you for that call, Tom. It's nice to hear your voice. Let's go to Sue in Sussex, who has a question. Hi, Sue.
Hi. It's really been interesting to listen to your program today. I have a specific question about Lake Superior. Part of our family, my husband's family is from Ashland, and my father-in-law and his father worked on the ore boats up in Superior for many years. And in more recent years, divers accidentally discovered that there were beautiful hardwoods, maples and things that were filled off of all these boats that were down in the deep water and well preserved. And there's actually a company in Appleton now that is like they reclaim this wood, and it has been made into fine furniture. In fact, Bill Gates of Microsoft has his executive boardroom table made out of this wood that was harvested from Lake Superior. I'm just wondering if you know anything about that or have heard about that.
Yeah. Recovery of logs that are historic require permits. So those permits need to be gotten from as a state lands archaeology permit for removal, and those need to be done through the state archaeologist's office. So I don't know about Bill Gates' desk, and I don't know about the specifics. I know that for a number of years there were a few permits that were issued, although I don't believe the quantity of wood that they believed was there was there. I think it was more speculative in the Bayfield area. And I know that there have been a couple furniture places that have come up, mostly like legacy woods and things like that. And I think a lot of those come out of Canada rather than from our local area.
Great. Yeah, that's kind of what I had heard too. So thanks for the question, Sue. Now let's talk a little bit about some of the other types of certifications that you have. Now you also do something with rescue too, don't you?
I do.
So I teach, rescue diving is certainly a class that can be taught. So once you get your basic open water certification, the next step is an advanced open water certification, which is sort of a variety pack of diving. And you can do five different types of diving. And then after that is rescue training. And they teach basic rescue, but also rescue of others. Now, if you wanted to get into like a local recovery team and help with that, and I've done some training of local recovery teams, but there is a whole specialty line of classes on how to do evidence searches and body recoveries and that type of thing. So again, if that's something that interests you, there are classes out there to be able to get your training for that.
Okay. And then one other question I wanted to ask about that it was equipment based that I kind of skipped last time, but talk about rebreathers. That's something fairly new, right?
No.
oh, it's not. Okay.
No, rebreathers are really one of the very basic and beginning forms of underwater exploration. And in fact, the first rebreathers were experimented with in like the 1850s.
So, oh my goodness.
practical rebreathers. So it's not new, but they are more prevalent in recreational diving now. Okay. And that is something that I teach and help people with. There are a number of different models out there. All of the models are specific, your instruction. You can't just teach on all models. You have to teach specific to a various model. So, like, I teach on what's called the KISS rebreathers. They're a company that's out of Arkansas. I also teach an Optima rebreather, which is made by a company called Dive Right, which is out of Florida. But there are, 15 or 20 other different models out there. And what it does is, as you respire, you're producing carbon dioxide and you exhale that into a closed system. And then the rebreather has a scrubber material in that, which is like a filter, and it filters out the carbon dioxide, and then you inject back in the oxygen that you use in your metabolism. So most rebreathers are good for about 3.5 to 6 hours underwater. Can you imagine, going to live all day underwater on this rebreather?
Amazing.
And it really will allow you to get all of your work done. So that's what we use for our work at the Historical Society. Whatever bottom time that you're going to put in and the time that it takes you maybe to come up in stages needs to equal the time that you have on that scrubber material, on that filter.
Well, great. This has been so much fun, Tammy. Thank you so much for being with us. Take care out in those caves, by the way. We've been talking with Tamara Thompson. She is the owner and an instructor at Diversion Scuba in Madison. On the show tomorrow, Jamie Knack and David Drake will be back to give us a wildlife update, including the latest on ruffed grouse and what to know about bears. That's starting at 11 tomorrow right here on the Ideas Network. And check out our blog. We have a brand new one up there on where to go to find wildflowers in Wisconsin. Just go to wpr.org/Larry. I'm Jill Nadeau, sitting in for Larry today. Stay well.